This time of year, our gardens are winding down, and most of us, for most of us, the harvest is in, and we're not thinking about planting, but that is exactly what's happening at Trout Lake Garlic. Jesse Davis and Warren Alto are on the phone to talk to us about it. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Is all the garlic planted?
I've got most of my seed garlic in, but I'm actually buying some more, so we don't have quite all of it in yet.
Yeah. Is this Warren?
This is Warren.
So you're buying more. Are you concerned about the weather?
A little bit, but we, you know, this is our 10th year, and the last 2 years have been very challenging. So last year, I planted a little over 28,000 cloves, and this year, I'm down to 8,000 due to rot and mold in the curing process. And I don't know exactly what's going on with that, but we have a sample into the University of Minnesota, which I'm expecting to hear today, to see if we have what the deal is as far as mold and the curing process.
You know, this is something I wanted to ask you about, Warren, is I got some garlic that I ordered online, and it came to me all shriveled up and brown, and, you know, the roots were mostly gone, and it looked just terrible. So is this something I want to put in my garden?
Probably not. That's what I'm waiting for, this U of M test to see. Of the 9,000 I planted, 1,000 of them have some of that brown, shriveled up stuff, and
yeah.
I've got them in a separate area, and I'm testing them just to see if the, because our crop of the 28,000 last year was beautiful, just incredible, but it just didn't cure up very well. So I'm wondering what the deal is. You know, this is our 10th year, and the last 2 years have been terrible, but up until then, we had no problem, and we're curing it just like everybody else cures it. So I don't really know what's going on with that. But we found some in northern Wisconsin. You want to buy it from kind of your same general location.
Mm-hmm.
The first year that we got it from Washington, which is a much different zone than we are. And that was an issue. So you live and learn, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you experiment, it sounds like. You're just trying things out. And you, it sounds like you even have almost an experimental plot going on.
I do, yeah. And this year I'm keeping it totally separate. Last year I was like, oh, it's just a mold issue because it was just wet and damp, and I planted it all together. And this year now I'm separating it, totally separating it. So I think Jesse wants to say something.
Okay, Jesse?
Well, I also wanted to point out that we do a 5-year rotation. So we don't plant the garlic in the same spot until the 6th year. And that's another thing that you know, people who are growing more than just a couple of cloves of garlic would want to think about. You know, with many things that you plant, if you keep growing in the same spot year after year, you're kind of giving any critters that are living in the soil there an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to keep giving anything that might be harming your plants the same thing to attack year after year. And so that's kind of another thing that's been confounding about the garlic is that we shouldn't be getting the same soil-borne sorts of things year after year since we're in new spots. But things that are attacking potatoes, rutabagas, onions, garlic, anything like that in the soil, they do not like brassicas. And so if you've got canola or rapeseed, if you've got mustard, these are things that you can plant beforehand or even between the rows, and those will drive out some of the things that really can not be terribly good for your bulbs or for your root vegetables.
Tell us about how you plant garlic and why you plant garlic in the fall.
Well, you plant garlic, you break up, you know, your head of garlic clove by clove. And it's similar, I guess. I don't plant tulips, so, I mean, don't hate me. But I think, you know, you plant a tulip and then you dig it up and you kind of break off the smaller little bulbs around it. And then, you know, you spread those out and you keep planting more and more tulips. It's the same thing with garlic, but you want to get it in the ground and get it so that it puts its roots down and then it goes dormant. And that's why we put mulch over it. We don't want to keep it warm over the winter. What we want to do is just keep it at the same temperature. We don't want it to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw up until April, because that's going to push the bulb right out of the ground.
Oh.
And so you want to keep it dormant. And then as soon as those soil temperatures get, 40 degrees or so, the garlic is so hardy that it just starts to grow. And, you know, it'll pop right out of the ground, pop right out of the mulch and start growing. And it'll be one of the first green things that we get to see growing besides the grass here on the farm. Native to Central Asia. So I don't know if it's Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan. It's one of the stands near the Silk Road. And it would just grow out of the cracks of these kind of craggy, mountain streams where they had extremely high temperature summers, but very cold winters. And it grows quite well up here in northern Minnesota.
Now, how long does it take you to plant all those thousands of cloves of garlic?
Well, this one, planting is actually pretty easy. It's breaking it up that takes the most amount of time. So I've got 8,000 or close to 9,000 I planted just last week. I would say it didn't take very, very much time, but I have four times as much time in breaking it up and looking at it, you know, with the mold issue that we had.
So you have to inspect all those heads of garlic as you're breaking off the cloves.
Yes, this year I've had to. And then it was such a treat. Last night I was breaking up some stuff that we had bought, and it was just like, oh, it's just so nice. There's no worries.
Yeah. Does garlic like a sandy soil, or do you have any tips on the soil?
It likes a sandy loam. That would be ideal, but it will grow in any type of soil. As far as if you got a hard clay, that can hold the moisture in a little bit and be more difficult for digging it or harvesting it in the late summer. But we have a sandy loam, so generally we can just yank it out. And I've been threatening Jesse that we're going to get a digger behind the tractor. And I think we're going to wait one more year, because we're only going to get about maybe 12,000 in this year instead of the 50,000 I thought we were going to have.
Oh, so. Wow. Do you have favorite varieties or types of garlic? I know most of us in this area plant a stiff neck or hard neck. What is that called?
It's hard neck. And we plant mostly hard neck. And this year I just got some soft neck. And a few years ago we had some soft neck and it didn't do that well. But I'm excited to try this new variety. It's called Transylvania.
Ooh, that's perfect for this time of year.
Exactly. But mostly we do the hard neck and we do a purple stripe variety. And there are different, there's the marbled purple stripe and the purple stripe. But they all have that kind of hard pencil kind of stalk in the center of them. And very potent raw, you know, they're very strong.
How far apart and how deep do you plant garlic?
So I am planting a row that's 4 wide, 6 inches apart. The bed is a row of 4 and 6 inches apart horizontally and vertically 8 inches apart. And I've got a little barrel that I have these, like a template that I can pull behind my four-wheeler, and it just makes a hole in the ground. And then it's easy to put them into the ground.
Just stuff them in those holes, huh?
It kind of looks like a medieval torture device. This is Jesse. It's an oil barrel that Warren had a relative of his weld these, five-inch prongs on, and you just kind of pull it behind. And so then if we have folks that want to come out and help plant and they know right where to do it and how deep to go. Because, of course, with garlic, it's going to be coming out of its top, out of its shoot. So you want to make sure when you plant those cloves that you get the root end into the bottom. Otherwise, when you harvest in the summer, you get this garlic that looks kind of like a Sherlock Holmes style pipe that has to go and shoot down before it goes up.
Oh.
It uses a lot of its energy to do that. And, you know, of course, we have a couple that do end up doing that, and they look a little bit different, but you can tell that they're a lot smaller because they use that energy going, you know, going down and then up instead of just getting nice and big.
So you have to plant them right side up. That's the deal.
Yeah, so we have kind of a minimum age of 6 years old for our planters that come out and help us.
Well, we are talking to Jesse Davis and Warren Alto from Trout Lake Garlic. And Jesse, since you're still on the phone, I know you're going to go to a conference in Duluth, and it's about food access. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this has become a semi-annual event, so every other year. And this is a gathering of, it's going to be 800 people. It's going to be at the Deck in Duluth. And it's people that are connected to connecting healthy food to people across the state. So you've got healthcare groups, you've got food shelves, you've got different nonprofits, you've got a lot of university extension folks, and then of course you've got me, who tries to fit in somehow. But so we're excited. We're going to be presenting this year on how all these different people can help make farmers markets more successful in the state. I mean, this is 3 days. There's breakout sessions. There's probably 40 or 50 different breakout sessions, plus, you know, speakers that are going to be speaking, during lunch and at other, you know, mass gatherings of people. So it's a wonderful chance for networking. This is everything from policy to food sovereignty, talking about cultural issues that might be with ethnic communities or with our Native American communities. And it's just really a great way for people from, you know, down in Laverne to people up in Grand Marais to kind of see what's going on in the state of Minnesota when it comes to food deserts, when it comes to health and nutrition, and to making sure that everyone has access to real healthy food.
Can you give us a little preview of what you might be saying, a couple of points you might be making on your panel?
It's a need-to-know basis, Maggie. I'm sorry. So I'm going to be speaking with Margaret Palin, who works for a community action group, which is similar to like Kutaska, but she's down in southwest Minnesota. So she covers Marshall and Worthington and that area. I've got two other speakers from southeast who are in the Red Wing and Wabasha areas. And then myself, and we are all involved with farmers markets and their EBT SNAP programs. And so we're going to talk about how, you know, those sorts of food access programs need the entire community to really play a part. You know, whether it's getting a sponsorship for a couple of $100 from a local fishing enthusiast group, or whether it's getting a bank or an insurance company to volunteer their accountant or bookkeeper to help the farmers market, you know, keep track of all their EBT funding and payouts to farmers, or how working with faith communities and their church bus can help people who don't have transportation get to the farmers market. And it's really about empowering these people. And most of these people, they love local food. They want to see people have more access. But, you know, they work with a university, or they're working at a food shelf, or they're working at, you know, Department of Health and Human Services. So they're not farmers, and they don't know how a farmer's market works. And so this workshop is really to say, here's the nuts and bolts of how a farmer's market works, and here is a list that in this, you know, small group session, you can write down 10 people that you know, your brother-in-law, your buddy, your cousin, your minister. These are all people that can help your local farmer's market actually do these big dreams you want your farmer's market to do. So it's kind of a real nuts and bolts session on getting people to write down, oh, yeah, I can actually make real change happen at the farmers market. So hopefully some will.
Yeah, sometimes just sharing good ideas among people will help move to do something different and new, try something new.
Yeah, and I think people just don't know the power of their own social connections, especially in greater Minnesota. That's something that I've found, you know, here in Grand Rapids. I'm a Colorado Springs native, which is a 500,000 person town now, and some of these smaller communities, people can do amazing things just with their connections and with their passion. So we're really hoping to ignite some of that at this session.
Well, thanks for telling us about that, Jesse, and thanks to you and Warren both for taking some time to talk with us today.
Well, wish us good luck for our Transylvanian garlic.
Yeah, we wish you the best of luck for your garlic, and we hope you have some good weather yet so you can get a lot of it in the ground.
You know, it does not mind the cold, so I think we're going to be okay.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Have a great one.
You too.
Bye-bye.